We're going to read this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and the opening 16 verses. Matthew 5, the opening 16 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." May God bless his word and help us as we reflect upon it and take note of it and apply it to our lives. We're going to turn to the passage from God's word that we read together this morning, and particularly to focus on the opening phrase in verse 13, where Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." I don't know whether you talk to yourself sometimes, but I ask myself the question, how closely do you walk with Jesus? That was the question I asked myself. How closely do you walk with Jesus? And with that in mind, I began rereading the Gospels to see how Jesus walked, and to see how I am called to walk. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then he added, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And in addition to asking myself, how closely do I reflect Jesus, I also ask myself, does my teaching reflect what Jesus taught? Because that's my commission. One of the things that Jesus wants us to learn and to teach is found here in Matthew 3 and verse 13 and that opening phrase. You are the salt of the earth. And I felt very much this morning that I should share this with you. I had something else in mind that I was going to preach on this morning, but it just didn't work. It didn't come together. And I felt very much that I should explore this verse with you this morning. I guess, like me, you have heard people described as the salt of the earth. I think of an uncle of mine who, after my dad died, helped me so much. He was a busy man. He had full-time employment. He had his own livestock. He was a deacon in his church. And yet he found time to help me as I looked after the livestock on our small holding. He was a good man. He was kind. He was helpful. He was a mine of information. And I thought, well, he's the salt of the earth. What a good man he was. I thank God for him. But is there more to being the salt of the earth than just being a good person? In his studies on the Sermon of the Mount, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, "The question of the function of the Christian in the world is one of the most urgent matters confronting the church and individual Christians at the present time." He was writing in his present time, which was a few decades ago. But what he said was equally applicable to our day and generation. The question of the function of the Christian in the world is one of the most urgent matters confronting the church and individual Christians at the present time. And one of our functions is to be the salt of the earth. Here we see one of the reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. One of the reasons he has brought us to know and to love him is that we might reflect him, is that we might be salt in the world around us. But what does that mean? Before freezers were widely used, salt was frequently used as a preservative. I remember as a small child looking in a cupboard in our house, and there stood a very large earthenware container. And it was full of joints of pork, soaking in salt, to preserve them for the winter ahead. I suspect there was one less pig in the pigsty. But that's what happened in those days. And if you went into my mum's pantry, for my mum had a pantry, you would see jars of salted runner beans in preparation for the winter ahead. There was no freezer, not even a refrigerator in those days. But these were how we survived through the winter. Salt is a great preservative. Martin Lloyd-Jones described it as a great antiseptic. It kills microbes. And here the Lord is teaching us that, like food, The world around us is subject to deterioration. It is subject to corruption. It is subject to pollution. And he calls us to be salt in the world. What a far cry our world is from the beautiful world that God created. Then what has gone wrong? We know what's gone wrong, don't we? Sin came into the world and spoiled everything. Mankind's relationship with God was broken. His nature corrupted. His environment spoiled. And all around us, we see the evidence of this today. We see it with our own eyes. We see it on our televisions. We hear it on our radios. And yet, just over 100 years ago, at the dawn of the 20th century, the world was full of optimism. In fact, there was a great exhibition in Paris in the year 1900 called the Age of Hope. The Age of Hope exhibition. And it was considered that humanity was making great steps forward. People were better educated. Science was making spectacular advances. Travel was taking off, literally. Some expressed the thought that people were too intelligent to go to war. Science was coming up with cures for diseases that had long plagued mankind. And it was hoped that suffering would soon be a thing of the past. And if you go to the turn of the century, you will find artists, and you will find poets, and you will find philosophers, all reflecting this great new optimism. A new century, new hope. Alexander Briansky was born in Russia in 1882. And he remembers celebrating New Year's Day in Odessa in 1900. And he recorded, there were fireworks, there was drinking, there were crowds on the streets. Nobody stayed at home. We had huge hopes. That optimism lasted just 14 years. When World War I began. And after two world wars, that optimism had all but disappeared. I thought there was a certain irony that Alexander Bransky was celebrating New Year's Day full of optimism in Odessa. Today, Odessa in the Ukraine lays in ruins. And all the evils that have wrought havoc throughout the ages are still continuing to corrupt the world around us. James asks where this all comes from. In James 4 and verse 1 he says, where do wars and fights come from among you? And he adds, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. As Jesus says in Matthew 15 and verse 19, for out of the heart precede evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And all these evils persist and continue their corrupting influence in the world today. And faced with this, what does our Lord call on us to do? Go and hide? No. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He calls on us to be his agents for checking the deterioration in the world, to be his antiseptic in a corrupting world. But how can we, seemingly such insignificant people, fulfill such a demanding role? Firstly, there is a rightful place, as and when we have opportunity, to reach out with the love and compassion of Christ to needy people in this needy world, often the victims of these evils. The Christian response to the conflict in Ukraine has been heartwarming. To see families in my own church in Tring opening their homes to refugees. And it's not always easy, it's challenging. There's a different culture, a different way of doing things. But they are being flexible and accommodating and making these people welcome in their homes in a wonderful way. Sending food and other necessary supplies to the beleaguered families in the Ukraine. Seeing Christian organisations driving lorries actually into the Ukraine to deliver much needed aid. What a contrast to the aggression and destruction that caused the conflict in the first place. Equally important is the reaching out with love and compassion, the love and compassion of Christ to those around us in their times of need. And in this time when prices are rocketing, when people are finding it difficult to make ends meet, I was particularly encouraged to hear of one church group who are planning what they call winter warmers, opening their premises for those in their community are struggling to afford to keep their heat on during the upcoming winter. Yes, there is a rightful place for these things, and they can provide gospel opportunities. And in doing this, people are being the salt of the earth. But it's also vital to remember where the heart of the problem lies. These problems stem from people's separation from God. And the greatest thing that we can possibly do as the salt of the earth is to share the gospel with others. Sharing with them how they can be reconciled to God. Speaking about the root of the problems. Sin in the human heart. Speaking about the great reconciling love of God that brought Jesus into the world and led him to the cross to bear our sin. To do that effectively, we will need to earn the right to speak to them. And we will also need to think very carefully in today's world about how we speak to them. In the current issue of Speak Life Daily, the evangelist Glenn Scrivener asked a group of Christian students to describe a person who was prominent in their journey to faith. And I found this quite enlightening. And the responses that came back in that meeting was someone who was wise, someone who was loving, someone who was consistent, a friend. And isn't that a wonderful picture of someone who shares the gospel? Someone who is wise, someone who is patient, someone who is loving, someone who is consistent, a friend. And that sounded to me like someone who sought to reflect Jesus and to be the salt of the earth as they communicated the gospel. Now, of course, we won't always get it right. But let us be ready when the opportunity comes to share the gospel. And when I say we won't always get it right, I say that from personal experience. I remember once witnessing on a market, and a lady got very angry with me. And she said to me, "I shall never speak to you again." That was quite frightening and quite saddening. And thank God that there were others who came to me on the market stall, and one particular who came to faith and I had the privilege of baptizing. But we don't always get it right. But let's be ready when the opportunity comes to share the gospel. If we are serious about being the salt of the earth, we will know that that is vital. The Apostle Paul was the salt of the earth, wasn't he? And while he was on this earth, and wherever he went, he looked for opportunities to share the gospel. He knew how vital it was. He would share the gospel in a synagogue. He would share the gospel by the riverside. He would share the gospel in a house. He would share the gospel while he was making tents. And he would even share the gospel with a bleeding back in prison. If we are to be the salt of the earth, we need to share the gospel. But also, if we are to be the salt of the earth, we will endeavour to live Christ day by day. Paul writes, "For me to live is Christ." There Paul is telling us he wants his whole life to reflect Christ. His character, his lifestyle, his aims and ambitions, everything, that he might live Christ. He was able indeed, because he so lived Christ, to say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Now, I don't think we would ever say that to anybody. But is that our aim and our ambition? Is that our focus? For me to live is Christ. Now, if you're anything like me, you will know again how far we fall short of this aim and this ambition. But let's make it our aim and ambition. Do we reflect the fruit of the Spirit day by day? Do we reflect the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control of Jesus? If we are to be the salt of the earth, we will need each segment of that fruit. Now, again, if you're like me, you will be stronger in some of those segments than others. But let's ask the Lord to help develop his fruit in our lives, so that wherever we are, we are more and more like him. To be the salt of the earth, we will need to be visible and evolved. For some Christians, godliness means having as little as possible to do with the corrupt world around us. But if we're to be the salt of the earth, we need to be seen to be living Christ. We need to be salt in our families. We need to be salt in our workplace. We need to be salt in our community. We need to be salt in the gym. We need to be salt in any clubs we belong to. As verse 16 says, using the other metaphor in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. To be the salt of the earth, there will also be times when we need a voice. There may be times when we are asked about issues that we believe are wrong and contrary to what the Bible teaches. And if we feel able, we should reply courteously, respectfully, but clearly pointing out what the scriptures teach. I remember when I was commuting, being asked my opinion on one such issue. I was asked a point blank question. There was no escaping. I replied, hopefully, lovingly and graciously, that my view was irrelevant. That was my reply. My view is irrelevant. And then I added, but what is important is what God thinks on this subject. And I shared what the scriptures taught. Often people are offended, not so much by what we say, as by how we say it. There are times too when we need a collective voice with other Christians who give themselves fully to this work. And in all of these ways we can be as salt in the earth, having that purifying and preserving effect. But if we are to be salt, be the salt of the earth, we need to retain our saltiness, as the second half of verse 13 says. But if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is saying good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. During the time Jesus was here on earth, salt from the Dead Sea was very important. But there was a layer of gypsum in the hills above, and sometimes that gypsum corrupted the salt, rendered it useless. And similarly, our saltiness can be contaminated. Our sin contaminates our saltiness. It stands to reason that if we talk like a Christian but behave like a non-Christian, we're not going to make an impact for the kingdom of God. If we accept society's interpretation of scripture and water it down or distort its teaching, we will be ineffective. To be the salt of the earth, we need to be people of integrity. Every day is a struggle. So every day we need to be renewed. And praise God, he can renew our saltiness. We need to repent. We need to rekindle our vision as we read the scriptures. We need the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And what a bonus it is when we are encouraged by our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in these ways, we can be renewed and refreshed to be the salt of the earth. We may not be like Lord Shaftesbury, or William Wilberforce, or Elizabeth Fry, who made such huge impacts to check the evils of their day. But by God's grace, as we live closer and closer to Jesus, as we look for help from the Holy Spirit, our distinctive Christian lifestyle can make a difference, and our Father in heaven will be glorified. Amen.